I've had some friends have that problem.
Okay. I'm going to call the City of Franklin's Plan Commission to order. Mr. Fuchs, please take the roll.
Commissioner Ritter?
Here.
Commissioner Haley?
Excused.
Mayor Taylor?
Here.
Commissioner Bennett?
Here.
Commissioner Fowler?
Here.
May you please rise during the meeting of Pledge of Allegiance to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Right. And the mayor will be voting on issues tonight. You have before you the regular meeting of Thursday, May 23rd, 2013. Is there any questions, comments? Not, is there a motion to approve?
Move approval.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Four ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. Item three, public hearings and business items. And while we're on this topic, there has been a request by residents in the city to separate the difference between the public hearings and the business item so that they're not combined. So just for your information. On item A, Franklin Public Schools, Mr. Beadle.
You may recall this item was before the Plan Commission as part of the larger packet for the high school site plan amendment last month, two meetings ago. One of the conditions at that time was to revise the parking plan and landscaping plan, and that as a result of that condition, it's being brought back to the Plan Commission at this meeting. The applicant, the high school, and its consultants didn't make any changes to those plans. The issues had been and still remain that the parking stall sizes are below the minimum required by the UDO, particularly it's the length of the stalls and the total square footage of the stalls. Staff is not aware of any flexibility that we have within that regard, and we're not aware of any instances in the past where we've allowed that, except in rare, unique instances for a few parking stalls. I can recall a couple instances where after a project was approved, a utility company would put something in a parking lot that would reduce the size of a parking space, and we allowed them to keep that parking space. Other than that, I'm not aware of any instances where the Plan Commission or staff has allowed smaller than UDO required parking spaces. So that would still remain an issue. Staff is recommending that the parking plan be revised to meet those minimums. The other issue would be with the landscaping. The landscaping proposed by the applicant is less than the landscaping, the amount of landscaping is less than required by the UDO by about a third. What they did in original proposal, in the original site plan amendment, they had a map that showed the UDO compliant landscaping, but they had noted in their text that they wished to have less than that. The plan that we have before us tonight now reflects that less that they would wish to have. Again, that's approximately a third less than what's required by the UDO. What they essentially did is they removed most of the landscaping from within the parking lot and left most of the landscaping that they had originally identified along the periphery of the property. Staff is also requesting that is not requesting approval of that either, or recommending approval. We're recommending that they meet the UDO requirements with whatever comments the Plan Commission may have and with any flexibility that we've utilized in the past. For instance, we're comfortable with slightly less landscaping in the parking lot. So where most of the snow storage would go, the larger areas, leave some gaps in the landscaping so there could be snow there. In the real narrow areas where there isn't much space and going to be snow storage, remove the landscaping from those areas as well. But in other places within the parking lot, put back that landscaping. And whatever they still would need to meet the UDO requirements could be placed anywhere else on the site. So that's staff's recommendation. In regard to the landscaping, there has been flexibility utilized in the past by the Plan Commission. There are many instances where the amount of landscaping was slightly below the UDO standards, and if that's what the Plan Commission wished, that probably would be possible tonight as well.
Okay. Questions, comments?
Just a question for staff. One of the suggestions is arranging to halt snow off-site. And when you say off-site, are you meaning out of the immediate parking area, or are you literally meaning off-site?
Normally, we would mean entirely off the site. If it was going to be somewhere else on their property, they should just show that on this landscaping and parking plan. And in the past, I don't think we typically require anything from a contractor. We just need something in writing from the applicant saying that when necessary, they would haul the snow off the site. I believe that's been adequate in the past.
Mr. Bennett.
Yes, I just want to comment. I wasn't here. I was at a conference when this first came up, and I did write up. We did require a traffic impact analysis to be completed for this project, and the school did hire a traffic engineer and completed the traffic impact analysis. And I did sit down with the traffic engineer and review the traffic, and kind of in the end result of the traffic impact analysis, that there isn't enough traffic to warrant the installation of a traffic signal at 51st and Drexel, nor is there really warrants to install a traffic signal at the entrance to the school. But I do want to point out that the traffic impact analysis did indicate that within the planning period of the impact analysis, that improvements will be needed to be made to the intersection of Drexel and 51st Street with left-hand turns and right-hand turns, and possibly bypasses, right-turn bypasses at the intersection. And of course, it's a policy decision of the Common Council. If this was a private business, they would probably more than likely require the private business to pay for the cost of those improvements with the approval of development. We're not necessarily recommending that. I just want to be sure that there is an understanding that this development will have an impact on that intersection. And when there's always going to be, there's no way to get around traffic congestion when you have this many people being dismissed at one time. There's just no way that you're going to do it. Even if you had a four-lane boulevard, because I asked when we did the improvements to 51st Street 2 years ago, we had a traffic impact analysis, and I actually asked the traffic, and I happen to be the same traffic engineer, the school's using the same one the city used, to actually come up with a four lane with turn lanes and everything into the school, and there still is congestion. You just can't dismiss, but it doesn't meet the standards of warrants because it's such a short period of time. So just want to point out that you always have some congestion. You're always going to have some congestion at the intersections to the school, and we're always going to have some congestion at the intersection of 51st and Drexel, no matter almost what you build. It's just that when you have that many people exiting in such a short period of time, now, nothing wrong with that. It's just that you are going to have some congestion. It doesn't meet the standards of congestion for warrants because it's such a short period of time. It only happens twice a day. So I just want to point that out. I'm not making any recommendation or anything, but I want to be sure that you're aware. I think on all this, and I did write, the reason I wrote the memo is I just want to be sure the council is aware of it. As far as the parking, I don't know. It's not really an engineering function.
Mr. Fowler.
Yeah, just a quick question on that. Having been to activities at the high school at that intersection of 51st, and I'm looking at the pie sheet here, Jack, that what I would consider the main entrance to the south on the property on 51st Could we? Would it not if they were?
As the city attorney just reminded me that the issues that you're speaking to are not on the agenda.
Oh, right.
It's on parking and landscaping. Period.
Well, this relates to parking.
No, I'm gonna. I designated a long time not to go to the city attorney. Was the only person that could beat me up over this issue. So when he talks, I'm not going to get beat up over this. So you're wrong.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Well, I'm wrong.
If you have other questions or.
Well, the other question is my understanding is I understand about the parking stall way, but we also have an issue of the number of cars again in a short period of time. We have the new auditorium. I think the mayor alluded to this earlier that we need to get as much parking on safely in that area as possible. And how detrimental will having these shorter parking stalls be to safety of the vehicles? I mean, from your perspective as a planner, I think that we have to suspend the rules to come back to
it. Well, we have the applicants here, right? So we could have the applicants and the superintendent or representative of the school district come forward if they wanted to speak to questions raised by the commissioners. I would ask one thing, and that's that you state your name and address for the record.
Steve Pass, 8722 West Cascade Drive, Franklin.
Bob Weigert, Epstein Union Architects, 333 East Chicago Street, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53221.
Welcome.
It was
nice to see you.
I'd like to thank you for having us. First of all, this is a very serious issue for us because the parking issue is one of the issues that really predicated us going to a referendum in the first place. For years, we've had community outcry regarding the parking at the high school for events all throughout the year. And one of the reasons I believe we were able to successfully pass the referendum was to ensure our community that we are going to try to do that. To answer your question directly, Mr. Callers, with the UDO requirements that has to be put in place, which we would ask to be waived, it would eliminate 101 parking spots. That's pretty significant for us. As a matter of fact, it really compromises the integrity of the entire project.
Can I just ask you to speak into the microphone because there are some people that have some hearing difficulties.
Sure. What I said was, according to the guidelines that the UDO and the planning department has come forward with, it would cause us to eliminate 101 parking places. Those are very valuable. Matter of fact, yesterday I got a call from a lady who was upset about the parking on Drexel and asked if we were addressing that issue with the referendum, and I said yes. And she says, well, I hope you're smart enough to look at Drexel and see what you have to do. So though I understand, appreciate, and respect UDO and the requirements that the city has and so on and so forth, I think these are unique circumstances, and Bob will go through some additional detail, but it really does affect the integrity of the overall project in terms of what we were doing and what our community has asked, and I think what our community expected us to do. So with that, I'll turn it over to Bob.
Yeah, I can tell you that the 9x18 is a standard size based on the Institute of Traffic Engineers on the low turnover.
Did you state your name and address?
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Yes, I did.
Okay.
Bob Weigert, Epstein Architects. So, you know, the 9x18 is a pretty standard size. In fact, I have some photographs that I'd like to show you, if I can, of what those parking spaces look like.
Well, I think based on what the superintendent just said, that basically one of the things that drove the school district to ask for a referendum stemmed out of parking, yes. So this, normally when we have these kinds of discussions about parking, et cetera, it's important, but not to the extent that you're raising it.
Right. And we basically are looking at, even with the reduced number, we're still looking at the same amount of paved area. So from a sustainability standpoint, we still have the same amount of hard surface area, and we're storing 100 less vehicles on site. But I do have some photographs of some parking stalls that are 9x18. And I also, the night of our plan commission meeting here last time, it was kind of ironic, we took a walk outside, and you can see the parking stalls out in front of City Hall that are the 9x20. And even with full-size trucks and vans, there's still a good foot to 2 feet of space behind them. Our civil engineer, Kapoor and Associates, they also wanted to make sure that you understood that
they've designed hundreds of school parking lots around the state that are designed like this with the 9x18. The three JPEG pictures.
While you're doing that, let me ask Mr. Deal a question. In the write-up that you have, and I think you've explained this to me, section 15-5.0202B of the UDO, when you use the word requires, are you saying that there's no flexibility and that it would require a text amendment by the Common Council?
My understanding is that those are the words that the ordinance uses. Required, minimum, shall be met. Those are the words that the ordinance uses. We're not aware of any variance process for this, so the only option that we're aware of is the UDO text amendment.
Okay, so it isn't something that the planning staff came up with. This is the, and the Unified Development Ordinance is, in fact, the law of the city, right?
Correct.
I believe, and I don't have the ordinance handy, but I believe that parking structures are allowed to have an 18-foot deep parking stall. So here you can see these are 18 feet deep. There's a minivan. You can see a kind of a full-size Suburban down at the end. There's plenty of room behind those. If you can go to the... This was a picture that we took in the evening. So we left the Plan Commission meeting, and you'll be able to see that there's behind the... Can you zoom out just a bit more? Or pan down. Oh, the light's really bad. There's at least 3 feet behind every one of these vehicles in a 20-foot deep parking stall. The reason that I show you these is that 18-foot is not unusual, and that vehicles, full-size vehicles, fit within an 18-foot parking stall. That was all that I had on that particular piece.
I guess I'd like to see other schools.
Yeah, this is Pewaukee High School, and these are 18 feet as well. And again, you can see, again, here there's a full-size Suburban. If you could imagine, at the tree kind of blocks it, but if there's a curb there, there's still at least a foot and a half of space behind that Suburban. Large vehicle, SUV.
But the question I had was about safety. I mean, if you the wreckers, we have not the most experienced drivers that are going to be using the high school parking lot. So my concern would be, I've seen parking structures where also you have a lot of congestion of people trying to go, and I understand, I did some of my own research, that most parking structures in the city of Milwaukee, the places in Milwaukee, have an 18-foot length, sometimes even less, to 17 feet. And they don't seem to have the issues of people pulling out, leaving, or hitting each other as they leave the parking spot. But again, there might be more experienced drivers. Again, my concern would be inexperienced drivers. Is there an issue, and I direct this to Joel as well as you, with these shorter parking stalls that's been documented, or is there any information on that out there? Because I don't see the issue as much, but I just want to be clear that it doesn't seem to be there. Is there a safety issue?
I can tell you, at high school, we don't have the same.
And what are the length of the parking stalls that are currently at the high school?
18.
Okay.
So and as a person that not really big fan of concrete asphalt deserts, I like the fact that you are going to be reducing the amount of asphalt, reducing the amount of flow of water off that site into the nearby, I think it's Crescent Creek, I'm going to say it wrong, the creek that runs on the property. So I like the idea of having the shorter stalls to reduce the amount of actual impervious surface, but I do want to make sure that the situation is safe. And if the current high school has 18-foot parking stalls, which I consider the parking there not the best situation, and we haven't had a safety issue there with an improved parking plan, which I see here, with more stalls, more access and egress and ways for traffic to move, this seems like it would be something I could be in favor of.
I would also quickly address with the length of the parking stalls, and brought up the issue of snow removal decreasing the size. We've never had that problem in the last 6 years. We've had an average of 2 snowfalls a year that were significant, that what we would call significant, over 6 inches. At our parking lot, the people that clear that, we do our own snow removal. We have had no problems removing up to the curb, to the right of the curb, and then if we have a pile or two within a day, we make sure that we alleviate that spot by bringing a front end loader, one of our own, and relocating them, because that also has an impact, I think, a little bit on our discussion regarding the landscape plan. So the snow, as infrequent as it is, has not been a barrier whatsoever for us in any of our lots, not just the high school.
If I could, just one additional comment. I know Kevin Haley couldn't be here, but I want to address something that Kevin has concerns about in the landscape plan. That was the pedestrian walkways through the parking. I know you have this plan, but I'm hoping that those will be of a different coloration, or like we saw on a trip that the Planning Commission made to Shorewood, they're on Oakland Avenue, which is a very busy street, by using a different color for the crosswalks. It seems to get drivers' attention. It almost looks like they're hitting something or they're driving up to something. They pay more attention to a crosswalk or a walkway that has a different color or has some way of setting it apart from the surrounding asphalt. So it almost looks like it's not part of that parking surface. And I'd like to see, I like the idea of what you've done here, I think those bump outs are excellent, but I'd like to see that kind of differentiation between those walkways and the regular parking. And I hope that's part of the plan.
Mr. Ritter, I hear you thinking
of that. Well, it is a difficult situation. There's no question about it. We've had trouble with parking in the nearby neighborhoods for years now, and I certainly appreciate the district's efforts to do as much as can be done to address that, especially with an additional feature on the site that's going to host more events and bring in more people at other times of the day. What hasn't been mentioned, as I recall, you're not only requesting shorter parking places, you're also requesting narrower driveways. And it's that combination. Plus, I do have a concern about snow storage. We see parking lots in this area where it is quite common to just plow the snow to the center and shorten parking spaces. Now, I appreciate your representations about what your experience has been. I think, perhaps feel a little more comfortable if there was a provision made for, got the large pond area there that would seem to be a perfect place to store all sorts of snow, if there were a need to move snow somewhere. It's a little bit contradictory to request an increase over the normal amount of parking spaces and yet designate many of them for snow storage. A little contradiction there that hasn't been explained, although I understand the practical necessity that snow's got to go someplace, and it's certainly more expedient to plow it to a nearby area and pile it there, even if that's parking spaces, than it is to load it up and haul it to some other site on the property. Nevertheless, it's a combination of factors: the narrower drive areas, shorter parking stalls, and potential for encroachment of snow into the parking stalls. Yeah, it may not happen very often, but the recent winters we've had have not been normal winters in terms of snow, all that sort of thing. I think we need to anticipate. I was an advocate a few years ago, and I'll readily admit this, for going to another high school on a different site. That was not the community's choice. We still don't know, with as much land as we have yet to develop in this community, what our ultimate high school population is going to be, what the demands on that facility are going to be. I can understand, I can readily envision that becoming a very popular site and having a lot of activity. And I think we need to do anything that we can at this point to make it able to accommodate that level of activity all year round, because you're open for business during the winter and nobody can control what nature's going to do to it. So I guess those are my concerns. I'm sympathetic to wanting to put as many parking spaces on the site as we can, but the combination of narrower driveways and shorter parking stalls and not readily practical ways to move the story. I mean, you've got a pretty intense parking area on the north. It would be somewhat difficult to move some of the excess snow to the pond area. I would like to see something that essentially makes an opportunity available to essentially push or move or dump snow into the pond area, because that's the open relief. I see no need to. I appreciate staff's comment about potentially taking snow off-site, but with the space you've got available on the site, particularly that area,
I can understand maybe having to relocate some snow, but it would seem to me not, hopefully not necessary to actually take it off-site. But those are my concerns.
Yeah, just briefly, Randy, addressing the snow issue, I think we have ample opportunity within the site to put as much snow as we can possibly get in a year. And we would never compromise any of our parking by putting snow in any of the parking pathways or anything else. And it would be there temporarily, but I mean, probably within 24 hours, we would make sure we maximize our parking areas with snow. But we do have plenty of space there. It would really be cost prohibitive and a burden on the district to transport or truck snow off that site. I don't think that's a viable option for us to consider.
Spell it.
If we put snow in the stormwater basin, we won't have storage for the spring storms. Want a good alternative to fill the stormwater basin full of snow, pile it up, so then if it rains and we don't have any bounce in the pond left, and we can flood people out. So I would not be very excited about having all the snow piled in the stormwater basin. If it was a lake, it would be one thing.
I appreciate that comment under the vast majority of circumstances, but given the size of the pond and the level of the normal water given in comparison with the surrounding land, I think there's a huge amount of room for snow there. Somebody wants to do some calculations, that's fine. But it seems to me there's a lot of room for balance there.
So, Mr. Fowler?
Well, I see the indicator the parking lot's going to drain there anyway, Jack. I think it's just with the timing of the water with the snow would get there. If they did pile it along the edges of the parking lot or use stalls, as was suggested, it looks like all those rains go to the pond. It's just the timing of getting the snow sitting on top of the pond.
Well, it goes there, but
a rain during a snowstorm would have the same issue. Well, anyway.
If we were... I don't know if the commission, if I'm hearing the commission is willing to go along with this or not. Actually, I'm hearing all kinds of things here. Mr. Fowler, I think, is agreeing with what I had to say the last time, and that's that you're going to have a very, very active school over there, much, much more so than you had in the past. And I think your auditorium, though you and I just discussed it, I think it's going to be full all the time within 5 years. I just think it's going to be packed, and it's going to be, the people in Franklin are really going to appreciate that, as well as the students. So I can see, I know you're going to try and plan the best you can not to have, you know, sporting events and, a play going on, but a lot of things are out of your control. Who knows where we're going to be 5 years from now. So I really do think you need all the space you can get. Couple of questions. If the plan commission were to go along with your request, is there a possibility that instead of storing the snow, that you could truck it off, or you could get a front end loaders, or is that? Now we have Northwestern Mutual does it, because I've had to go down there on Saturday nights to tell the operators that it's 9 o'clock and they had to stop. Their operations. Mr. Cloutier.
Well, I would start off by telling you that it's too important to us to have available parking at all times, because we take enough heat for it now in the summer, let alone any other time of the year. But we'll have an opportunity for not only by the pond area, but if you were to picture the area between the baseball field and the bleachers of the football field, there's a roadway that runs directly north that will have ample space for as much snow as we could ever put out there, let alone the other on-site areas, as well as right now the north boundary, which was mentioned in the write-up. But the north part of the building is for future expansion, so we're not going to put parking there, but it is a place for temporarily we can use for snow.
I am familiar with that. I've been out to many a football game. In fact, I've seen you there.
But to answer your question, my point was that if we ever get in a situation where we're losing parking, we're going to find the means to get it out of there. So that even if it means on-site, because it would not be something that's going to be an everyday occurrence. It would probably happen frequently, and we would do it every day.
Would you ever put the snow on the baseball fields, including? I mean, thinking there's not too many baseball games going on during the winter.
There's not, but we use those for physical education. Go ahead, Mark. Oh. We use those for physical education in the spring, so we'd have to get it off there as quick as we could. And again, like Mr. Bennett said, so much is weather dependent.
I have to say my name. Mark Cloutier, Franklin Public Schools, 8255 West Forest Hill, Franklin. I have been involved with the snow removal on a very personal basis over the last years. And we have had to truck it a couple of times, the snowstorm of 2008 in February, where we had to move it. We actually moved it from one point on the site to another point on the site. So we have done that. We've also done some much smaller things, which we do on a regular basis, as Dr. Patz alluded to. We do have a land loader of our own and a small dump truck. And we do move snow around to clean up those edges and to make sure that we are clean curb to curb. I think one of the biggest differences, and I heard Mr. Deedle say something about an expectation of a letter from the contractor that said if you needed to, we would haul it off site. Again, as Dr. Patz mentioned, we don't have a contractor. You have the owner moving his own snow, who has, quite honestly, quite a bit of ownership over the quality of that snow removal. So we always strive in the Buildings and Grounds Department to do a first-rate job. And as Dr. Patz said, typically within 24 hours, we've pushed back and we're clear curb to curb. And we've got a history of doing that, and we didn't had no intention of changing that process going forward.
I was really looking for some sort of quid pro quo that if in fact the Planning Commission was willing to, you know, make some adjustments based on your arguments, that perhaps you would be also willing to take a look at how you would remove the snow. But it sounds like you've already done that in the past.
Yes, we have.
Over and above that, if you were to follow our recommendation, we certainly would see that whatever needed to happen to be moving to do that.
Okay. And I do have another question for the city attorney. That's that I asked Mr. Deal this, and that's about the words requires UDO. So does the Planning Commission have flexibility to, do we have flexibility with the word when you include the words requires?
Taking Mr. Deal's response verbatim, I don't see one except for filing a petition for attempts to build.
Mr. Ritter?
Two things. I didn't address the landscaping issue before, I will do that. But before we get into that, I'm going to need some clarification at this point because I don't want to misunderstand what you said, but it could be interpreted. Your comments could be interpreted as saying, "Well, we really want to, even though we're showing parking spaces as snow storage, we really don't intend to use them for snow storage. We intend to keep those open, and if necessary, we'll move snow and do that." You know, would that be a misinterpretation?
That would not be at all. We have every intention of having every available parking stall available to us at all times.
And frankly, I'm gratified to hear that. But that being the case, I'd really like to see a snow storage plan that reflects what you actually intend to do rather than showing a whole bunch of parking places marked for snow storage.
And we would gladly do that.
It would also be good to have one that does require a magnifying glass to see where the snow storage is supposed to be, too. Because we've been through two sets of plans and they still need a magnifying glass. In fact, I would encourage a little better printer if you're going to make people use a magnifying glass to see things because it could be a little sharper. I don't want to misunderstand your comments, and I do appreciate that you're not really intending to let those go to snow storage, but that being the case, let's have a realistic plan as to what you actually intend to do.
I agree, and there would be no sense in building parking stalls just to house snow.
Exactly, and I agree with that. So I would like to see, even if we take some sort of affirmative action or not, I'd still like to see a plan that really reflects what the intent is. With regard to the landscaping, I didn't address that before. I was a little surprised to see the revised plan. It may reflect what you intend to do. The standards we have, have been developed over time, and they do reflect, I think, the community interest in getting away from the oceans of asphalt kind of thing. Now, I understand plantings can be a challenge when it comes to snow storage, snow removal, that sort of thing. I'd like to see it at least a little more, and it appears that we've established now that we don't really have a lot of flexibility. I'd be willing, I think, to be flexible on the mix of the plans. Some interest has been expressed on preserving sight lines and things like that, so I could see perhaps some smaller plantings and exchange for some larger ones. I would hope that cutting the number of plantings would be an absolute last resort, and it sounds like we don't really have the flexibility to do that anyway. But I guess those would be my comments. I'd like to see if you work with staff and see what you could come up with, maybe bring a little bit of the planning back to the parking area so that it isn't quite, you know, maybe somewhere between what you had in the first drawings and what were in the later drawings. It's a difficult site, trying to balance some, you know, conflicting objectives here. But like you see, I think that's the intent of those is just not have oceans of asphalt and have at least some plantings throughout to bring a little more pleasant, you know, relief from the just broad areas of asphalt. And then, yeah, a plan that reflects what the actual storage plan is. I think those would be useful contributions to the discussion.
Is it Patrick Meehan that put the UDO together? I can remember him coming into one of the meetings when I was an alderman, and I said, I think it's 410-page ordinance. And I said to him, did you really intend that most of this document should be a guideline and not an ordinance? And he said, no, ordinance, all 410 pages. And unfortunately, we still have that document, and I keep saying this over and over again. I think this document, trying to cover 34.5 square miles of territory where you could fit maybe 25 Shorewoods in it, sometimes doesn't work, and I'm thinking right now it's not working for what the community wants done. I mean, we're talking about the school district, but you represent the community.
Right.
And I think you've demonstrated with some of your slides, and I don't doubt you, that other school districts and schools are functioning with exactly what you're requesting. Our dilemma is this, because it is a ordinance, it's going to require a text amendment change. Actually, both sections, correct? The landscaping and the...
It depends. There has historically been some flexibility utilized in the landscaping. Not as much as they're requesting now, but slightly below UDO standards. I can find many examples of that. So depending on what the final answer is and the amount of landscaping, we may only need one UDO text.
When I met with you earlier in the, was it last week or the week before, I'm very sympathetic to where the school district's coming from, and would like to see many spaces with the, you know, the provision of good landscaping and snow removal plans, because I think you're going to need it. And I also think Mr. Ritter said a mouthful before, is that, you know, there are some that would have maybe preferred a larger campus and all that, new high schools. Well, the reality is the people of Franklin went to the polls and they voted for this plan. And I think this plan commission, I think the Common Council should do everything we possibly can to help you get this done. Again, our dilemma is that a couple of the sections are ordinances, and they require text amendment changes. So I met with Joel Deedle shortly after I met with you, in probably within half an hour. So, and we talked about this. So I guess I'd look to the commissioners or to Mr. Deedle. I have a recommended motion up here, but I don't think it's going to pass, and that's a motion to approve the revised parking and landscaping plans. And then my other option is as the chair of plan commission may desire, but instead of the plan commissioners trying to come up with a motion here, I would either rely upon the city attorney or you to be creative and come forward with some sort of motion that's going to get us off of dead center, and use Mr. Ritter's words, and that's going to have some affirmative action that is going to signal that, yes, the plan commission is supportive of this, but because it's an ordinance, it's going to require some text amendment changes. You know, maybe that's one of the motions, is to recommend that the Common Council look at making a text amendment change specifically geared for the school project, if that's possible. But they want to get on with building the school. This is costing all of us in Franklin money, not just the students, not the school board. This is costing all of the residents of Franklin,
$5, the longer we wait on this. Mr. Follett?
I like what Randy said about the drive lengths. I think the driveway lengths might have an issue, but if we put together some type of a motion that would perhaps increase the percentage of the landscaping to something that's agreeable between the applicant and the planning commission, that would come to some agreement on increasing the percentage of the landscaping, but agree on the parking stall and have them agree that they will put in a revised snow removal plan with some suggestions from the planning commission. Would that be something we could move forward, or would that not work with the planning commission? I would like to try to get this moving forward.
Mr. Deedle?
I'll be looking at the city attorney as I say this for nods or shakes. I would say recommend approval subject to a number of conditions. One condition would be successful obtainment of a UDO text amendment for the parking stall size changes. I would further clarify that if that's the direction the plan commission wanted to go, that staff would be aware that on an interim basis, the footprint of the parking lot would be acceptable to proceed with for construction purposes, with the understanding that if you don't get that UDO text amendment, you'll probably have to add more parking or reduce the number of stalls. But if you successfully received that UDO text amendment, you were able to start construction on that parking lot. So that would be the parking lot issue. I would also suggest then that one of the conditions also be the revision of the parking plan to show the snow storage in those places and in that fashion as discussed this evening. And then the third condition would be, and I think we need further elaboration on that, on what amount of landscaping and what amount of flexibility would be acceptable to the planning commission. Because again, I can point out that there have been instances, many instances, with swapping of types of vegetation, locations of vegetation, and minor amounts of the amount of landscaping material slightly below UDO standards. That's happened before.
And I'm very supportive of this project. I think everyone here would be aware of that. But the issue I would have, if we do too much giving on the landscaping issue, we set a bad precedent for other large institutions that come into Franklin. We're asking them then to do a landscaping plan. Well, they'll point to us and say, well, you've allowed other to get, you know, to reduce it to a certain extent. And I'd like to see it at least be at something close to 50%. Because I know we've done that in the past, Joel. I believe that's true. We've got it down to 50. I think I remember one pilot. But it was a small one. But again, that's my concern, that we set a precedent with. I mean, I understand this is for the public good.
With the boundaries, the north, the east and west boundaries, and the south boundary, landscaping buffer zones, we are doing that per the zoning ordinance. What we're talking about is specifically the parking area, reducing that. We had proposed reducing that by 2/3, which basically took out about 200 plants. If we could reduce, again, keep the buffer zones the same, so that the neighbor buffer zone is basically the same. If we can reduce that parking area in the middle, maybe by 50%. So overall, I don't know calculation wise what that comes out to be. I'd have to redo the numbers. Do you know what I'm getting at? We still have a lot of landscaping.
Mm-hmm.
We're just taking that area within the parking and reducing that slightly.
Just on a precedence issue, I think that's the. That's the big issue that's in the room. Oh, it's kind of invisible, but that's the one. Oh, you know, got to be careful that we don't do this and do that because somebody else is going to come in, a Wheaton Franciscan or Northwest Mutual, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, let's say they do come in. Okay, first question. Do you have high school football games at your facility? Are you going to have a school play called Oklahoma? Are you going to have rallies? Are you going to have homecoming? Okay, so you're different. So I think that takes care of the precedence issues. But that's the big issue here. It's always here. And yet, you know, I've had to say this 10,000 times. I'm going to say it again. I used to be the chief grievance hearing officer from Milwaukee County. Had 17 unions I sat across the table from, almost identical contracts.
I don't think I ever saw the same grievance. And even though the union every single time would say precedent setting, the arbitrators would throw it out. So, you know, in some respects, the word precedence is sometimes thrown out by administration for administration convenience. This is a brand new high school. 51-52% of the people in this city have voted for this. The longer this waits, the more money that the taxpayers are going to have to pay. So let's try and be as absolutely creative as we possibly can and not get in the quagmire of administrative convenience and past practice. Let's really try and work through this.
I don't know that I see the necessary need to be creative on the revised plan. I just see lots of what appear to be spoken areas where it would seem to be good places for plans. Now, again, I could go along with changing the mix of plans so that if you went for a site line, you go with smaller, shorter things. So I can see, you know, some flexibility, or even a good deal of flexibility there. But given the amount of the site, it seems to me there have got to be enough places to meet the numbers of plans. So I would encourage, and I would like to see a few of them come back in the parking area, but I understand, as I said, we will be under your conflicting goals there, but I'd like to see a little more vegetation back in the parking areas, and other than that, I would say plant up, but, you know, we've got all the way around the pond, even some of those sloping areas where the new practice fields are in the back, don't show any plants there. I would think, you know, some plantings there would be good ways to hold the soil in on the sloped areas. So, and I regret that Commissioner Haley isn't here because he would be by far our best resource in terms of making suggestions as what to do. Perhaps some opportunity can be made to meet with staff and Commissioner Haley and see what suggestions there are. But given the size of the site, I would really like to think we could at least come pretty close on the numbers of plans. I would see the most flexibility in just the size of the plans in order to meet the concerns about preserving sightlines. I don't think we need to get all that creative. I would agree that this is a unique site. I wouldn't look at this as setting the precedent for what happens in the future of the community because you know, this will be R1 high school. And I don't know that it, you know, we'd like to set it, great to set a lot of standards in a lot of ways, but I don't know that that needs to be for the least amount of landscaping that we ever granted. It just makes that as necessary.
I guess maybe the word creative was not appropriate, but I should say is let's try and find the word yes and not dwell on the word no.
My concern, and I have no objection in principle to a revision of the UDO with regard to the parking, but I don't want us to put ourselves in a box in terms of limiting what that flexibility might be. Are we talking about, I would be much less receptive to just an outright reduction as opposed to creating either a variance process or establishing some latitude, some leeway. I would like for us not to do something that essentially commits us to setting a new standard just to fit this situation. I'd like to see, I can see you deal with the text amendment that would create some flexibility that would accommodate the situation, but not necessarily lower the standard set by the UDO just this situation. So that would be my concern there. I'm not opposed to a revision of the UDO, but I would not like for this to drive entirely what that might be because, as we agreed, this is a unique situation. I don't want it to deal with it in a way that creates opportunities that we might regret in other situations.
The city attorney.
Mr. Ritter just said it's a unique situation. By human beings and motor vehicles for a variety of reasons 6.4 text amendment. Hearing positive comments here, Mr. Berger agrees that this is a situation that if it's across the board, positive comments, but I think that ought to be filed. I'm not fully conversant with the timing here, but off the top of my head, without a calendar in front of me, were such an application filed, that would probably be right for public hearing, maybe at the first plan commission meeting in June or July, and then on the council meeting, second meeting in July, if it were filed forthwith, then the landscaping would be addressed in conjunction with that. Regarding the snow storage, I heard repeatedly from the superintendent saying they take care, Mr. Boulier talking about they take care of snow storage, and it's on site, but it's not going to be in the parking lot. So I mean, that can be submitted in conjunction with the parking plan, but nothing really happens until there's a text amendment. So is that a problem in terms of timing? Then I don't even know that the plan commission needs to take any action other than put this over until the application is filed for this text amendment. To me, it's a relatively simple application filed to them.
Well, that's probably one of our biggest issues is we need to get going. We cannot wait very long to do anything. The snow issue, the landscaping issue is something I think we can easily resolve. That's not a non-issue in my opinion. But we have got to get going, and the parking aspect of this entire project is critical. I can't even underestimate that because of the calls we get and the responses we get from people, and I understand everybody's position in the ordinance and so on. So I guess my question is how could we get something in place to allow us to get our permits to get going under some sort of, you know, amendments that we have to stop if certain things happen, if it doesn't go through or whatever, but we can't wait any longer. Right now, we are really pushing the envelope big time.
Mr. Bennett?
Yeah, I think we could, based on the plans, and maybe the plan commission could indicate they had no objection to issuing a land disturbing permit. We could get the grading done, and you're taking a little chance that what the plan commission approves, but you know, you started in the grading, and that's usually the first thing you have to do on a parking lot, and to me, there's a lot of grading that has to be done, so I think you could. I think we worked out with the mayor, and I've got a note from the planning department that if you keep 100 feet away from the natural resources, they don't have any objection for issuing a land disturbing permit. So I think we're in a position that we could issue a land disturbing permit probably early next week if you would get your plans in. Therefore, you could really start your grading for that. And, you know, I would think that you would have plenty of time to finish your parking lot if you could get the grading done in the next month.
And as the city attorney said, then if there was an application filed even tomorrow, it would for the text amendment change, that would start to move things along.
Do we file that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
And if you had any questions about how to fill out the paperwork, Nico, walk you through it.
Great. Why don't you just, just be proactive and maybe go walk them out and tell them what they need to do.
And we're ready to issue a plan disturbing permit.
We actually do have our state-approved construction plans for footing and foundation, and we would like to actually probably come in tomorrow and drop that off as well. All of the construction that we're talking about is out of the wetland area. Obviously, it's within the realm of what we're talking about with the parking, but that shouldn't, the building permit shouldn't be held up by the wetland area being that we've already talked about. We're going to stay away from that. So we're hoping that we can pick that up, hopefully, again next week.
You have a state permit for grading?
Yep. For grading?
Yeah. You have to have a state permit for grading.
The plans were submitted.
No, for land disturbance. You have to have a state permit.
We have the DNR NOI.
Okay, do that.
Yes. Yes.
Well, and we had a meeting to see if the building permit could be expedited. That's what I meant. That was the superintendent. So, well, I think it's this is a much better path. I guess I would agree with the city attorney, and that's that sometimes the best action is no action by the Plan Commission. And I think you're picked up quite a bit that there's large support here, but we also have some concerns about some things, although I think you've put to rest quite a few of those, like snow removal and landscaping that you're going to move forward and you're going to help us on. Last thing I want to see happen to you is what happened to the rock complex, where the rains came down, and they're still coming down, and they're trying to move the Franklin clay, which is very, very difficult. So, okay, is there...
No, I'd just like to say thank you to the commission and to you, Mayor Taylor, especially for the support. You know, this really is just not a school district project. It is a community project, and you've reiterated that a number of times, and the concerns that were brought up needed to be brought up, so we appreciate that, and we'll address them. And we appreciate you giving us the leeway to make some movement, and we'll do what we have to do.
Well, thanks for providing us with a great school system.
Thank you. Thank you.
Kenneth R. Sweeney has been waiting there patiently. Mr. Deedle? That was on a parking lot.
No parking in this one. This is a relatively straightforward CSM certified survey map. It's been in the works for a number of years. 2 years ago, the adjacent church had applied for CSM and a rezoning. Those were approved by the city, and the rezoning was reflected in the city's zoning maps, but the CSM was never recorded. This new CSM would also help address that situation by adjusting the lot line next to the church to match the zoning. So what they're proposing to do is just to create 4 lots out of 3, shifting some property to the adjacent church. We are recommending approval, which is one condition being that they make sure that they match exactly the boundary of this land exchange with the church to make that match exactly with the zoning district boundary. Otherwise, we're recommending approval.
Okay. Any questions? If not, I have a motion. It'd be a motion to recommend approval of resolution conditionally approving a 4-lot certified survey map being a part of the southwest one quarter of the southeast one quarter of section 7 and part of northwest one quarter of the northeast one quarter of section 18, town 5 north, range 21 east, the city of Franklin, Milwaukee County, Wisconsin. Is there a second? It's been moved and seconded. For the record, the mayor is voting on this. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any no's? 4 ayes, no no's. Ayes have it. Motion carries.
Thank you.
I should have said for one of the more respected families in Franklin. So.
Thanks.
Or the most. Okay, Franklin Meadows and Francis Wood Subdivision, monument signs.
Also fairly straightforward. 2 monument signs are involved, one a brand new one for Franklin Meadows. That's the new building being built behind the Francis Woods building, and a redo of the Francis Wood monument sign. So the Francis Woods sign is going to be in the same place. They're just redoing the face of it to reflect both buildings, and a brand new one for the building in back. That's recommending approval. And this would be approval from the Plan Commission.
Questions or comments? Not. I do have a recommended motion. That's motion to approve a resolution approving 2 monument signs and a post and panel directional sign for Francis Woods Condominiums and Franklin Meadows Apartments. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any no's? 4 ayes, no no's, ayes have it, motion carries. Thank you for waiting patiently.
Thank you, sir.
I'm disappointed that Sister
Celine. What was that?
He's disappointed Sister Celine did not come.
Thank you, gentlemen.
You haven't met Sister Sloan?
Well, I know. I like her.
Oh, yeah.
I was disappointed she didn't come tonight, though.
Yeah.
Although she is getting
better. Item D, Pleasant View Victory Creek Trail Development and Location Project. Mr. Deal.
These next two items are related. So natural resource special exception is one item, and then the other item would be just discussion of the location of the trail. As you may recall, this again was on last month's, two meetings ago, agenda. Natural resource special exception was prepared by staff for the southern alternative. Through the discussion at the Plan Commission meeting with Alderman Wilhelm, it was determined that there were possibly much better alternatives further north. We directed Sewer Pack to go back out to the site and map the wetlands for those other alternative locations along with DNR on the site as well. That has been done. We just received those delineations yesterday. I believe there may be a map that was placed at your seats that showed that rough delineation. That information will have to be GPSed in so we can calculate the amount of square feet to be impacted each of those alternatives, because the DNR will require us to do an alternatives analysis. So it's our thought and plan, staff's thought and plan, that we would provide a preliminary version of that alternatives analysis to the Plan Commission and Common Council to help them decide which alternative will be the city's selected route. And then we'll provide all that information to the DNR then.
Okay, a couple questions. I guess I was under the impression that there were no wetlands in the middle of the area, and that Sewer Pack and DNR were allegedly just going to sign off because of that. Is that changed?
There was some belief at the beginning of the process that a northern route may not have any wetland impacts at all, that there may be a gap in the wetlands. The DNR, the Sewer Pack, did not find any such gap. They believe the wetlands are contiguous or continuous all the way across this property, so that any route to go from east to west will have to cross at least some wetlands.
Okay, so they weren't just going to sign off on it?
No.
That's a pretty big issue. Mr. Bennett?
Yeah, while we don't have enough information yet to determine alternatives, I would like to go over the crossing of the east branch of the river, and I've prepared a little packet. But I think we can address this because this is common to any possible alternative. We only have one bridge, and we have to cross it. And I gave you a drawing. We do have to cross the wetlands. This area will flood. There's no way to get around it. We are not going to be able to elevate the path through the wetland through the floodplain, because in essence you're building a dam when you do that, and you're going to back water up. So we have come up with some cross sections, and maybe I go through the cross sections in order. Looks like maybe they haven't. Looks like one of one is in the last alternative when they're put together. This is the alternative that we would use when there's no wetlands, no floodplain, and no cut section. So we would slightly elevate the trail through the rest of the lands such that we have a drier trail. We would provide culverts underneath it for drainage, but this would be the simple, and that's one of four. This happens to be the last one on the list. To get a 0.5% grade, we can't have more than 5% grade for ADA, and we have to make this ADA compatible. So we have steeper grades than 5% on the south side of the bridge, so we're looking at a small cut section. We're only going to be cutting less than 2 feet, so it would be rather a simple cut, but we do a 6-to-1 side slope, so it will blend in. Again, the trail is per our application is 10 feet. We're suggesting that we have like 2 foot, not really shoulders on it, but 2 foot before we start sloping so people won't be close to the slope. The next one is alternate three, or section number three, and that's the cross section where we go through the floodlands. And you can see by that we're not elevating whatsoever through the floodlands, and the trail will remain at grade. And this, I believe, is real important for application. The sewer PAC has agreed to assist us with the application, and will do all the hydraulic calculations and will help prepare the application to the DNR and FEMA. But again, if we don't do any filling, I don't believe there's going to be any contention here as far as filling and that, or far to getting the application. And the last one is if we do cross, and as Mr. Deedle has indicated, it looks like there's no way to get to the park or to the Pleasant View School without crossing the wetland. So what our suggestion, and we have taken soil borings now. We were out with our, and that's the last page on this is the borings. And it looks like each alternative is possible. There's not more than 2 or 3 feet of poor soils in the area. So we can excavate the poor soil, the wetland soils, put in stone, and be able to put the trails through either one of the wetland alternatives. So, and again, we're not at this point yet to recommend a selection or even to give all the criteria for crossing the wetlands, but I thought we could at least take a look at the crossing. I know the concern would be is, can we keep out of the floodplain? And the answer is no. The actual elevation of the bridge itself, the top deck of the bridge, is above the 100-year flood. So we were going to try to minimize elevating that, but I don't think that's going to be a real criteria. So we have had this study completed by Grafe, and the structure can hold all four vehicles that we have requested, and that it would be a police squad, a pickup truck for snow plowing, a skid steer for snow plowing, and the heaviest of all is an ambulance. And the study by Grafe has shown that the structure can hold those vehicles. We would post this as the whole trail is no vehicles allowed, but we do think that it's advantageous if we can be sure it can be patrolled by a squad, that it can be, if it's going to be a year-round trail to the school, that it can be plowed, and as an added thing, if there's people injured on the trail, that an ambulance could get to them. And it looks like that's possible for all four vehicles.
Mr. Ritter?
Jack, just a couple questions. When you talk about the approach, you know, of the trail in the floodplain, that's right now all we're really talking about is the trail coming down from, I think that's Bridge View or Bridge Lane. Then there is no way. It's getting to the bridge and then exiting the bridge into the trail system toward Pleasant View at this point.
Yes.
So, and on second, and when we look at the alternatives, 1, 2, and 3, and I know that we had looked at a fourth alternative, but that was ruled out because of poor soil conditions, if I understand.
That was ruled out by sewer pack.
Or sewer pack as well.
Because of the type of wetland materials that were.
Right.
They did not want to see that disturbed. The nice part about the other three alternatives, 2 of the 3 have been disturbed already. And the north one has not really been disturbed. The south one is the tractor. It is the farm tractor route that they had getting to the thing, and that's the one that's been mowed. The middle one was disturbed a few years ago. MMSD worked with Fish and Wildlife, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, to be able to build a pond. Basically, they push the wetland material up, and you could see that in that little neck on that photograph. That's where that's the second one up where we took the soil borings. If you look at the last page, the bottom one was the original mold trail. The second one up, and kind of the disadvantage of that it's more subject to flooding. The second one up, and that's where they have disturbed the wetlands. That's getting pretty close to be out of the floodplain, out of flooding. And the one that's just to the top of kind of the pond area, that we don't have any soil borings, that's the one that Sewer Pack said that they would not recommend as a crossing. And then the top one was, there's a mold trail across the top one, too.
The issue also will be that the top one, even though all three of these now will have a wetland disturbance, the area, just from my, when we visited the site, Jack, it looked like that northern route might impact the least amount of wetland.
Well, that may be have changed.
But that may have changed. So we have to wait to see what acreage is disturbed by the northernmost route, that middle route.
And I guess I would suggest of the city that the city pick the route that they think's the best. We should be able to get a general permit, and that the whole world doesn't run around a few extra square feet of wetland disturbance. And in fact, all of these have been somewhat disturbed. The two bottom ones have been disturbed for sure. The top one has a mold trail on it. I don't think it's really much of a tractor route, but the south one has been disturbed. You can see where gravel has put. It's got a culvert in it. The middle one was disturbed by building this pond. So I think all those play into it. But I would suggest the city pick the route that they think is going to be best. And kind of some advantages of the southerly, of abandoning the southerly route, is that the other two routes are not subject to major flood.
Mr. Ritter?
I just want to make sure that it's, would it be reasonable to presume that this is going to extend all the way up to Marquette, I suppose, so that even if the bridge were not passable, whether it was due to flooding or damage or anything like that, the squad car or ambulance could still get down to the area from the north end, even if it couldn't get across the bridge, that would be reasonable.
Yes, even if the bridge wasn't capable of handling the ambulance, they could get in from each direction. It's just a little bit more convenient because the fire station's on the south end. It's more convenient if that. But we're not going to have to do anything special, it appears, to get the ambulance across. So we didn't know that until Grave had completed their structural analysis. So we have the structural analysis completed, and we are working, engineering is working on what we're going to have to do to the bridge or some alternative. We'll have to put a railing on it for sure. We'll have to put a new deck on it, and we're looking at alternatives to doing that right now.
Which route, because you're saying the city should maybe pick, which route is the most likely to not have standing water on it?
I would say route 2 or 3.
Do I have this number?
We don't have numbers.
Middle and northern.
That would be alternative one and alternative two on this.
This route, and this route would have the least amount of standing water. This route would have the most.
Okay. And which one would still touch the park? So which one is it?
This one. Where MMSD had actually build a little dam across the wetland to impound this area up here.
Dead.
So he's already raised this up above. So this and up here about the same elevation.
Right, but this one goes to the new park.
Yes.
Okay, and which route is it, number 2 or 3?
Well, we're getting a little ahead of ourselves because we really haven't got that far. We're suggesting that we wait to another meeting.
Right.
So we get all the information together with you, and then we'll have the advantages and disadvantages. And we've kind of, except for taking soil borings, to be sure that some of these just wouldn't be prohibitive in crossing, particularly the the second one. If we say the bottom one is alternative one, the middle one is two, and this one up here is three, we wanted to be sure that this was economical across, and we have proof that by taking the soil for
example. Okay. And Mr. Fowler, there was a gentleman that wanted to speak today. Yes.
Well, here, that was on item number, not this item, on the mowing plan that I have. I don't think it's related to this item.
So. Yeah, I given that what I have in my packet is the conclusion. It says Department of City Development staff recommends the subject item be tabled for staff to continue work with Sewer PAC, and the DNR returns to the Planning Commission with a detailed assessment of each wetland crossing option considered.
I guess I'll make that motion.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Just if I could, one other thing.
Do you have seniority over Mr. Pollard?
No, I'm asking for permission.
Oh, yeah, okay.
A second, but I just want one other comment before we vote.
There's a time for discussion.
Okay.
Second.
State legislature is modifying the rules for mitigation for trails. And they, when the bill goes through, there'll be an exemption above the 10,000 square feet. And you get a general permit. So you will be able to fill or excavate in the wetlands up to 10,000, and all these alternatives would be way under 10,000 square feet. So I think in all cases, we want to wait, at least our recommendation would be, is to wait until the law goes through, because we have to mitigate. We're talking about big dollars and a pain to do it. So and we've been told that this should be within a month or so. But you know the legislature, I would bet my bottom dollar on that. But it supposedly is moving through. So I think taking another month or so to make the final decision, we are proceeding with looking at what we got to do with the bridge, and the rest of it should be pretty straightforward about getting out for bid on it.
Mr. Fowler?
Just the last couple of comments. I would say that all three of the alternatives, alternative one, two, and three, and again, I looked at this handout, would touch the park. I wouldn't want to limit on what's going to touch the park. Alternative one, if you look at this, also have an added, what I consider an added benefit. It would be perhaps longer. I've been told it may not be longer. But the added benefit of using alternative one, it would also serve as a actual nature trail through a parcel of land that the city can maintain as a natural area. And it has some nice vistas. It has some nice aesthetics. So I think that when we come to the final decision, what's in the best interest of the city, I would just like to keep that on record, that we don't want to, I do want to make sure that it touches and makes access to the park that the city plans to do. But my understanding is we don't have any funding for that, which I would like to see change. I'd like to see that park get moving, because some of the, what we'd like to do, we got this trail in, I'm hoping it would jumpstart getting that park moving and get that moving ahead, and maybe we go to talk to the Parks Commission, see where that's at. But again, that's my comment. And if we do not do the mitigation, though, because some of us in the flood management business are not so sure the legislature understands some of the risks they take when they don't add mitigation, I would hope that, I see these areas as so minor they would not have any flood impacts, but I would like to see if we don't do mitigation on the wetlands that the city do make some, I don't want to say promise, but that we would then maintain the area as a natural area, and that would speak to item D, which is on the docket today.
Okay, we have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Four ayes. Any noes? No noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. And then on the second piece that's here is the recommendation. So. What was your recommendation on the second piece? Mr. Deal, I just had it in front of
you. I think item 3B is actually supposed to be item 3E. Is that correct? I just want to make sure I got the right value.
Yeah, the Pleasant View items are D and E. And D was the location, and E is the special exception.
Okay.
And so we'd be asking for no motion, no action on the special exception, because we may be choosing a different route. And this natural resource special exception would either have to be revised or tossed out in a new one from starting.
I second.
Okay, there's a motion on the table. It's been seconded. Any further discussion? Sure.
Only that I thought I those items D and E were already in that motion.
I will withdraw my motion. That's my second if that is necessary. City Attorney.
All right, Dave. No discussion. Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any noes? Four ayes, no noes. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Next item on the agenda is Mr. Deedle. Help me out. I'm losing everything in front of me here.
So this would be item F, and this would be the maintenance and mowing of that Victory Creek Park area. And so Mr. Fowler had some information about possible options, burning versus cutting, and further discussion of that matter.
If you like, can you just give a very quick, brief synopsis? We visited the site when we were walking on site looking at the various trail alternatives and what wetland impacts they would have. It was noted to me by people much smarter on botany than I am, but I did notice them myself, was the fact that the large areas... Can we get the area up? I'm sorry. We could. Large areas of this natural area are being, I would say, infested by buckthorn saplings. However, in addition to the buckthorn saplings, there are other tree species and shrub species that are coming up as well. Unfortunately, the best, most cost-effective way to eliminate this threat that we have now with the saplings before they get well-established would be to mow them, and then if possible, herbicide the cutoff small quarter-inch sapling stumps with a herbicide, which I've noted on my handout. I've talked with the Parks Commission. I left a message with the Parks Commission. They did not get back to me. And I also talked with the Environmental Commission, and I talked with Jerry Schaefer, and Jerry Schaefer said the city can do this work and they can accomplish this. It would be a single mowing with the herbicide treatments. That laser pointer, I'm sorry, can you skip that? The areas that were mostly, The areas that are mostly impacted, with the park, which is being mowed regularly, is in fairly good shape. The areas in here, in this area here, and then there's some here, and not as much up here at the top. So we might do some selective mowing in these areas and these areas. This would work for a year or two, and eventually we'd want to go to some type of burn plan like they do at Northwest. But putting a burn plan together is time-consuming, and we really need to jump on these saplings as soon as possible to prevent them from getting established. So the mowing plan, while it's not perfect, and I know there's, you can talk to landscapers, and there's some people feel mowing is not the best option if you don't do mowing or if you don't do burning. And so there would be, I think, people that would say this is not a good plan if you don't include a burn plan at some point in time. And the timing of when we actually do the mowing is also important to bird species and varying flowering of these prairie plants. So we might want to consider the mowing to be done sometime late in August or early September. I've had other people say, no, you do it now while the saplings are growing, and if you herbicide them, then they absorb it down and it kills them completely. But in lieu of the fact that this is a natural area, there are bird species, there are flowering plants, and a lot of people have some concerns on those, my recommendation would be to work with Jerry to do this sometime, maybe late August, early September. The plants might still be, buckthorn has a very long, active growing season, so the herbicide may not be as effective as it is now, but it would still be, I think, effective enough. And then working with Jerry and the fire chief to come up with a burn plan, there are various consultants that work for the district that I can talk with, Jack or others that need to be brought in to talk about a burn plan. And we would not burn the whole area, but you would burn various sections at different times over a 3 or 4 year period. So what I was coming to the Planning Commission for was to get a recommendation or a motion to allow Jerry, if needed, to get Jerry Schaefer working on a mowing plan that we can present in front of the, I believe we'd have to go to the council to present it to the council for approval.
I don't know. Maybe we could just, I could ask the staff just to assign them to put together an action sheet for the common council.
And I'd be willing to go and make the presentation.
Okay. Well, so I think consider it done then. Get them on the sword.
And I'm available at time, guys. Just give me a call.
All right. Next one is City of Franklin Complete Streets and Connectivity. I understand that's a little bit different tonight. So I have a kind of a little bit of a report. That's that, as you may be aware, John Miglick resigned from this committee. So at the last meeting, there was no, well, it was unable to get a quorum. So it says citizen members, I had Nick put together kind of a synopsis for me of meetings and what's taken place and what has not. So citizen members, five needed for quorum for administrative rules and procedures. The vacant chair was John Miklicks. Then they had Michelle Leahy-Reed, Kevin Haley, Greg Kowalski, Aaron Smack, Dave Fowler. I take it those meant that they were there or they were available. Or, okay. And then one position was vacant. Parliamentarian position had been former Alderman Solomon, so I understand that the parliamentarian under the ordinance for this could either be a alderman or the mayor. So the mayor is kind of thinking about participating in future meetings. Advisors, Alderman Wilhelm, and then vacant. So my understanding, the reason I'm going through this, is that there are four advisory positions.
Three.
And then there are how many other citizen members?
Seven citizen members and then the parliamentarian.
Okay, and so to have a quorum, you need four?
Five. The room procedures have a majority of possible.
Okay. So, because I go through here and I've got, this is Nick's stuff, and it's, they sent it to me. Meeting history of Complete Streets and Connectivity Committee. Below are all the meeting dates for, of the Complete Streets and Connectivity Committee. There were 15 meetings scheduled, and 10 of those meetings had to be canceled, primarily due to quorum issues. Below I provided the additional details, et cetera, et cetera. First meeting, Complete Streets and Connectivity Committee, held on August 8th, 2012. Regular meeting of September 5th, 2012 was canceled. Regular meeting October 3rd, 2012 was held. Regular meeting of November 7th, 2012 was held. Special meeting of November 14th, 2012 was held. Special joint meeting of November 19th, 2012 was held by the Parks Commission and Board of Public Works. However, the Complete Streets Connectivity Committee had to adjourn due to a lack of a quorum. Member Haley was excused. Regular meeting of December 5th, 2012 was canceled due to a lack of a quorum. There were two existing citizen member vacancies, and Curtis Bolton resigned effective November 27th. And 2013, regular meeting of January 2nd, 2013 was canceled due to lack of a quorum. Committee had three vacant citizen member positions. I would guess one of them was created by the absence or the resignation of Mr. Bolton. It goes on and on and on and on. I bring this up for two reasons. One is, obviously we want the committee to continue and to flourish. That was not the statement of the committee members, that was the statement of the common council of the city. And I haven't heard anyone from the common council say that they're looking at abolishing that committee. In fact, I think they're still very much looking at success for that. But I do think that from my review of this, the bylaws that were passed are very problematic as far as getting a quorum. The staff has brought this to my attention. And so I think there should be maybe some recommendations to the common council about the trying to
trying to get this down to maybe five or six members and maybe follow some of the same rules and guidelines that are present for all the other boards and commissions of the city. Third piece is the reason I'm saying that is because the staff, I brought this up before, staff have, they have lives. They have, and they have places to go, and if there are meetings that are scheduled, well, that means they have to cancel this or cancel that, or they can't work on this project or that project. And so it's a staffing issue, but it's also it's a monetary issue. It's we're not in the process of hiring more staff. We're not looking at additional overtime because our budgets are all very tight. So I think the idea of the complete streets is a great idea, and I've supported it all the way along. I have asked members of the committee through the process to try and supply me with names of people that would they thought would try and fit in there, and whenever possible, I have pointed them to boards and commissions. I just went through all the applications, and I think I may have seen one application that's on file with someone that might have an interest. But absent that, it's not a whole lot. Now, I can go out and go and recruit people myself. I do know quite a few people that have this kind of a background. You know, I don't know what George Torres is doing these days, but I bet you he would probably add something to the committee. Or we do have Bill Tejant that's in this community, and who's the former Parks Director from Whatcom County. So I just want to get that clear that, and we just, by the way, we just had a county council meeting Tuesday night, and I haven't heard from anyone that they're intending to make any changes to the connectivity committee whatsoever. So I guess the thing I will have to ask staff to do is to keep me informed of the meetings, maybe work through Lisa, and either add another alderman as a parliamentarian, or I will show up for the meetings myself and run meetings. So.
Question? I don't know if this is out of order, for, but maybe this is may not be appropriate, but I'm just like, I was going to try, you know, John, I think he has a lot to bring to that committee, and I was going to try and reach out to him and see if I could maybe mitigate his decision on resigning. If that's not a good move, I would not do that. I thought I would make the attempt.
I'll just throw this out, and that's that we are at a planning commission meeting, and I do make recommendations for appointments to the boards and commissions, along with the connectivity committee. As I sit here, I still have made no decision whatsoever as to who my selection will be for putting a name forward for the either the connectivity committee or the plan commission. So, and I think we're probably pushing the envelope on the agenda.
I move re-adjourn.
All right. Moved and seconded. Any further discussion? Seeing none, all in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, four ayes, no noes, ayes have it. Motion carries. We are adjourned. By the way, Mr. Fowler, thank you very much for taking the appointments. Greatly appreciate it.